Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. You know what? Yesterday, mowing the lawn felt good. Well, mowing the lawn, it's okay, but it felt good to be out in the warmth and mowing the lawn. So that's, I had to clarify that. So wonderful. Wonderful to have you this morning. Just praising the Lord for many different things today. I can't believe Cam is 16 years old. You know, it's things that just kind of go past, you know. Way, way back then, Nolan used to call him Hammy. So we used to watch this little Hammy guy run around, and he was a wild guy. He was really wild. So you might not notice that now, but we just rejoice with him on his 16th birthday. You know what? I have a question for you just to think of. What did the right eye say to the left eye? Hey, something between us really smells. So I just saw that, and I just had to just get that out of my system. And you know what else I have to get out of my system? You know, every morning when I dress, I just put on things. I try to think about things. And then when your wife comes up to you and they say, hey, don't have your sleeves too high because, you know, then you're going to look like the Maytag worker going in there and working on somebody's dryer or something like that. So I just had to bring them down. So I hope this is satisfactory for you. I'm feeling okay. Up here, it's just so much cooler, you know, but this is warm. All right, so we'll get all that out of the way. Ah, praise the Lord. Line of sight, as Bruce said, a line of sight. Now, if you're a hunter, you know line of sight, right? If you don't have line of sight, you're not shooting, correct? Is that right? I'm not a hunter, are you? No. Yes? So if there's something in your way, it's kind of like, I got to wait for a better opportunity, right? So, you know, line of sight, you know, for satellites is pretty important. You know, they have to be able to communicate. If something is obstructing the line of sight, it's not going to get done. So today, you know, I don't know why this popped in my head. You know me, but you know, this is line of sight. Let me tell you what it is. You know, in terms that I looked it up actually, it says it is a straight line along which an observer has unobstructed vision. So a straight line in which an observer has unobstructed vision. So we're going to be taking a look at that today as well as we. Walk in Luke. We're back in Luke. We kind of take a little break for a while and stuff like that. But I decided, you know, we just got to carry on until something else interrupts as the Lord leads us and stuff like that. So before we get on to all this, let's pray. Lord Father, again, we come before you rejoicing because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You hear our prayers, Lord, and you know our hearts and Lord, we know that you are sovereign and that all things are under your control. Even though in our minds it just doesn't seem that way, but Lord, it is. And we must trust and obey. And Father, as we go on in this word today, Lord, that you'll speak to us, that you'll guide us, that you'll open our hearts and speak to us and teach us new things or remind us of things that we used to know or just encourage us to continue on. Lord, in our walk with you, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you. So bless this time. May you receive all the glory in it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So going into the scripture here, and Beelzebul is kind of a weird name, but you know, Jesus was driving out, just kind of setting the scene. This was a supercharged thing, okay? This is an atmosphere that, you know, there's a lot of people, all right, there for many different reasons. And this man who was mute because of a demon, Jesus cast it out. Right in front of everybody. Line of sight. Nothing obstructing their view. Everybody saw the same thing. All right? So making that clear, they had a clear line of sight of what Jesus did. So the environments, you know, they're amazed and all that stuff. And I was just recalling, you know, back in the days of Elijah, when God sent down that fire to burn up the sacrifice on the altar in front of all those people, all the Israelites, to prove that he is God alone. And all the people fell down and said, hey, hey, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. So you're just thinking the same thing is going to happen here, right? You know, this guy has a demon. You know, he's been mute for how long? I don't know. And if you read in Matthew, he was also blind. Well, Jesus heals him. Everybody sees it. So why aren't people just falling down? You're the Messiah. You're the Messiah. You know, what's going on? There should be a revival going on. Something's up. But you know, and all this, remember this. And all of this, don't take your eyes, because there's a lot of things that come in here. Don't take your eyes upon this truth. There is no one whom Jesus cannot help. And that's from devotion I was reading the other day. I just can't get that on my mind. There's no one that He cannot help. Wonderful. Wonderful to know. So what obstructs and how to remove it? You know, here's the Hoover Dam. I don't know if you've ever been there or have seen it. It's an amazing feat. And being inside is even more amazing, especially when you see the water starting to drip. And you're going, oh, what's on the other side of that? Ooh. Billions of tons of water ready to come down on you. But here you are. This thing is obstructing the Colorado River from flowing, you know. So they'll release it when it really, right now it's so low, they don't have to really release any, but they use it for energy, you know, spinning the turbines to create electricity. So that's that obstruction. So, you know, there's things that get in our way. We're going to look at that. What gets in our way at times and how to remove it, we'll be looking at that today as well as we go on. So first of all, the reactions to what Jesus did, all right? You got three types of reactions. You got what I've seen. There might be more, but what I'm focused on, there's hecklers. There's the hecklers, and then you got the testers, and you got the shouters, you know, shouting out, all right? So we're going to be kind of looking at that, and just, you know, Jesus, a clear line of sight. He's saying, here I am. This is what I did. And now this is going to be the reactions to it. So first of all, before we move on there, we'll just look at it here in the scripture. It says, the first of all there, in when Jesus driving out the demon that was mute, when the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke. And a crowd was amazed. So now he's speaking. I don't know what he's speaking, but hopefully he's praising the Lord, right? By some of them, and if you go back in Matthew, the book of Matthew, and look there, I think it's chapter 12, these some people are Pharisees, okay? The religious leaders of the people, one sect of it, anyways. But some of them said, by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. So they're trying to discredit what he did. All right, that's one of their things. They just don't want this guy. They don't like the baggage he's coming in. All right, and really, it's what is called prejudice. We hear this word mentioned all the time, and I'm not sure people really understand what it means. So I just said, well, let's look it up. You know, so it's a preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. Well, this fits right in, doesn't it? Because here it is, clear line of sight. Jesus heals this guy. They know no one can heal somebody who's mute and blind unless he's doing it by the power of God. So actual experience, and then they get reason. They have no reason because now they're saying, oh, no, you're doing it by the prince of demons. That's what you're doing. And, you know, it's just, you know, they're just trying to do anything to discredit. Have you had anything that in your life, you know, you did a real good job and somebody comes up and go, you cheated. I saw you cheat. Or, you know, oh, you got help. You got help by, you cheated. Or you got help by this guy. Or that wasn't you that did it. Somebody else did it and you're just following what they did. You're just plagiarizing. You know, have you ever had that? People kind of just try to discredit something that you did well. Oh, I could do better than you. That's what they're just trying to, they're trying to draw attention away. You see, Jesus is, he needs to go, here it is, guys. Clear line of sight, you see it. But they're the Pharisees, these guys who have so much jealousy, prejudice, you know, unbelief, anger in their hearts, that they just said, oh, we got to get the focus. You know, the crowd's going wild here. There could be a revival going on here. And then they just shout this out. Oh, you did it by the prince of demons. So they can distract and, you know, start to cause an obstruction to the line, a clear line of sight. Hard hearts. You know, Jesus was not from their own stable. You know, he wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't a Sadducee. He wasn't a part of the religious leadership. He wasn't born into that. He didn't wear the clothes that they would like. He didn't come around the people or visit people. He hung around the wrong people. That's what he did. He hung around the sinners. He even lifted up John the Baptist, who called us a brood of vipers. That's where they're at. Can you see their hearts? They're angry. They don't like this guy. Let's discredit him. So, rebuttal number one. To that part, anyways, you know, we had that. Of course, oh, the second one, before we go into the rebuttals, the second one was others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. That's another thing. So you got those hecklers and you got the testers. These guys are looking for these things, maybe another bolt of lightning or fire coming from heaven like they did back in the day of Elijah. Right? They're looking for something like that. But we know what kind of people those are too. They're just looking for amusement, looking to try to justify themselves, or, you know, what they'll get is they'll get it and then they'll probably ask for more later. So Jesus knows that. So let's kind of go through a little bit here. Verse 17, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, so Jesus knows, right? He knows. Any kingdom divided against itself is ruined. So he's just telling them, hey, guys, you know, if you're going to discredit me, you know, look at this. You know, if the enemy is fighting against himself, that's a good thing, right? He's going to take his kingdom down. If there's a civil war going on, he's in trouble. And you have nothing to worry about. But that wasn't the case. But then he said, if I drive out the demons by the finger of God, by his power, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So now he steps out again and says, hey, did you see me? Now he just cleared that discredit, all that fog that they're trying to create, all that stuff, whatever they're trying to throw in front of what he did, he's standing now, he's rebutting. He said, hey, look, if I do this by the finger of God, then the kingdom is upon you. So now the eyes are back on him. The eyes are back on Jesus. He's just moving that obstruction aside, right? And then he goes further on there in 21. He says, then he goes further talking about when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the plunder. That strong man he's talking about, who do you think he's talking about? Kind of giving him name, you know, different name, but Satan, right? Jesus defeated him. he's destroying all of his works. And he's doing something, you know, he's taking him down and he's tied him up, and now he's all the captives that he's had under his deception and under all the fear that he's trying to cause through his greatest weapon of all, his death, to try to keep us in his captivity, keep us in the dark from what really is true. You know, the world, all the temptations he uses, all those weapons, they're stripped down. They're stripped away from him. He's tied up, bound up. His power, he still has power, but nothing as great as what Jesus has. Because now Jesus has the authority to use the power. So all this is happening. And then he says something very important here. And I think this is probably even more important than all the other things he said. He says, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Really, what he's saying is this. He says, there's no neutral ground. There's no neutral ground. You can't ride the fence any longer. You saw what I did. You know I can only do this by the power of God. You know what I've been teaching and speaking about, that I call myself the Son of Man, and you know what that means. I'm your Messiah. I'm the anointed one. I've come for you to save you. You've got to choose. Choose which way? Choose my way or go your own way? But you have to choose. Or it can be scattered. There's no way. Now he's you know, for us today, you know, for them back then, you know, they'd had Jesus right there, right? You know, they can see him, touch him, smell him, all that stuff. We don't have that, but we have the cross. See, the cross of Christ calls us to respond. Which way are we going to choose? Which way? Are you going to choose to follow him? To go on his side? Or are you going to go on the other side? Pretty clear, isn't it, huh? And then in 24, he says, you know, he goes to talking about these impure spirits, you know, coming out of a person. It goes through arid spaces, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. See, a lot of times when we choose to go our own way, you know, we try to follow education, philosophy, other religions, anything that can work for us, that makes us feel good and follows what we want. We like the packaging of it all. And for a while, there might be some good results. We might be able to get rid of some of those old habits and old addictions that just stick on to us and we're fighting with, and those thoughts and all that stuff. Yeah, some people are really good. There's people that are a lot better than me out there, moral people. People are so kind and compassionate to people, so giving and generous, that put me to shame. But what's underneath? What's hidden in the dark? See, eventually, that empty space, because when you're emptying yourself out, you got to fill it up with something. It's going to get filled up. The vacuum is there. Something's going to come into it. And in this case, if you don't fill it up with God, with the Holy Spirit, you're going to get something else that you don't want. That's going to make your condition even worse than it was before. Because the enemy is always looking for opportunities to fill that space. In every which way he can. Because he's out to destroy us. So Jesus is just putting it out there. Guys, this is it. You gotta get this right. And then in the midst of all this, we have a rebel rouser. Actually, somebody with a really compassionate heart, I feel. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in a crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Well, you know what that is, right? It's a shout out. Woo! You're the man! You ever heard that? You're the man! Or you're the woman! You know, hitting a golf ball or something, just when you're in back, saying, "You're the man!" Shoots off. Oh, yeah! Tiger Woods is coming out. Oh, yeah. Put him in headlock and give him some noogies. Things like that. Feels good, doesn't it, Don? I'm sure you've done that before. Giving your kids or somebody some noogies. I remember getting noogied. Oh, that hurt. I I think I still got some bald spots from that. But do you understand what's going on? You know, this lady, I mean, she's competitive. This crowd is amazed, and their emotions are up high. And she's going, "Oh, Jesus, you're so awesome!" You know, but her focus is a little bit off. Okay, a little bit off. A little bit off. And Jesus lovingly, he didn't go, "Oh, lady, sit down." No, he didn't say that. He just said, hey, better, you know what's better? You know what's better? Yeah, I love my mom. She's wonderful. But you know what? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Woo! I tell you, he's putting on, isn't he? If I do this by the power of God, if I do this by the power of God, and if you gather with me, and if you hear His word, and you obey it, you're on the right track. But if you're going the other way, watch out. Watch out. Because his next rebuttal is this. See, he's going to rebutting against that one, the people who are looking for signs, right? They're, you know, I want to see a sign to prove, you know, we were talking about that the other day in Wednesday's life group, you know, I want to see a sign, I need to believe. You know, it's kind of like that guy, you know, when his son, you know, was in trouble, I think it was his son, and he's just, you know, Jesus says, "Oh, it's okay, just believe." He says, "Yeah, I want to believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Right? Help me overcome that unbelief. These guys are looking for signs for whatever reason. We don't know where their hearts are. And Jesus says, "No, I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to dance to your tune. No, but you know what I will do for you guys?" He says, you know, as, and it says here, the crowds were increasing. So he's really got more people. He says, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign," but this is in verse 29. "But none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Do you remember Jonah? Remember that wonderful story of Jonah? The guy that got thrown overboard and got swallowed up by the big fish. How many days was he in the fish? 3 days. Now, when that fish, commanded by God, spit him up on the shore, I'm sure there weren't just a few people there. There were probably, you know, Ninevites were fishermen. Okay? And they probably saw this happening, this huge fish spitting this guy on the beach, you know, and he must have smelled and was slimy. I don't know what he looked like, you know. Good night. When he walked into the city, they probably knew him from a mile away. They could smell him. And his message wasn't anything great, but it was what happened to him, right? That was the sign. Jonah himself wasn't the message as much as Jonah himself was the sign. And Jesus is saying, you know what? In a little while, I'm going to be that sign to you. I'm going to be raised up from the dead in 3 days. Let's see what you do then. You know, there's clear line of sight again for you guys. Which way are you going to choose? And then he talks about this Queen of Sheba from the south. You know where she came from? Today is Yemen. She came from quite a long way to hear Solomon speak. But she was rewarded. She was rewarded. She really was amazed, and not only did she give a lot of gifts to Solomon, Solomon gave back even more to her as she went back. And the Ninevites, smelling this Jonah, you know what they did? What did they do? They repented. And so these two will condemn the wicked generation who does not repent. Does not change the direction. He says, here, he says, and now something greater than Jonah is here. See, the kingdom of God is coming in power. Now, this is a kingdom that they didn't really expect. They wanted a physical kingdom. They wanted the, you know, everything to be back to where they are in their own sovereign rule, to get rid of the Roman Empire. See, they swapped it. They got ahead of themselves. All right, impatience, because Jesus is bringing in the spiritual kingdom, and they just couldn't quite catch on to that. Just couldn't quite get the hold of that. They didn't like it. It's not the way they wanted it. It's amazing. I love this picture. I know. I know Shirley remembers this. I know some of you guys remember the robot lost in space, so wonderful, and things are in danger, and they're going to go, warning, 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 you know. And then they made a newer one, and that robot's kind of a whole different form. He didn't even do the warning. He did say, be careful, though, danger. He did say danger, didn't he? Danger, danger, danger. Jesus gives it to him. He says, hey, here's a warning, guys, you know. There, and now he's going into verse 33. He says, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when you are unhealthy, your body is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. So, hecklers, shouters, testers, you know, the thing that they're putting things obstructing the view, they're obstructing their line of sight. For whatever reason, there's darkness in here, okay? It's prejudice, it's pride, it's just hate, it's bitterness, it's whatever. Selfishness, self-centeredness, ignorance. Oh, yeah. Misunderstanding. Oh, yeah. All that just comes in there and becomes an obstructs the view of the cross, obstructs the view of Jesus and what he just did. And he's saying, watch out. You got to clear this up. You got to clear this up. And the only way you can do that is by getting on my side, where all that power is and the help. And then he, you know, to kind of further kind of look at this is, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, yeah? So when you get these people heckle or test or just shout it out, you can tell what's in their hearts. And I have to watch out too. I say stupid things. They go, did that flow out of my heart? When you think about it, you go, oh yeah, it did. It's just stupid pride. Right? Unbelief. Doubt. Personal agenda. All gets in there. So get rid of it. So what is obstructing this sight, the line of sight of the cross for us? There's many things, right? There's a lot of things in our lives. Sometimes we say, this is really good stuff. And yeah, it can look, it's pretty good, you know, the things that we do or whatever. But we have to watch out. Because when it starts obstructing the view of the cross, and it's going to turn us the other way. It's going to cause us to lose that path that God wants us to on. He says, choose the side, right? And, you know, the choosing part, that's a whole other sermon or two or three, okay? There's a lot more involved in that. I was thinking about doing that today, and Julie knows that, but I said, no, that's just not the time yet. But Jesus is calling us. Here's the line of sight right here. You see me? Respond to me. One way or another, but at least now you know where you stand before me. And there's no uhs and oh, that wasn't very clear. No. There's no excuse. And if you don't choose, then you're choosing the wrong way anyways. You're not choosing me. So what is it? So there, you know, things obstruct our view. Sometimes it's the world, sometimes just the busy schedules we keep. Sometimes it's our own attitude, sometimes it's just, you know, our own health, our jobs. You know, lots of things can obstruct, even our own attitudes, our own lack of self-discipline in the word and prayer. Lots of things can be an obstruction to us, to the cross. And that's talking about people who are following Christ, right? And the people who are not following Christ, well, you understand what's going on with them. And they're the ones that are heckling, and they're the ones that are shouting out, you know, all these, you know, great people and things going on and stuff like that. And they're the ones that are asking for signs and wonders, you know, to so they can believe. See, we don't need to do that. But we got to watch out because things obstruct our view, and then we're going to be doing the same thing. You start to lose your place. You start to lose who, what you believe in. You forget what Christ did. You can't see the cross anymore. And you go, did he really do that? Did he really do that for me? And then we start looking at it like unbelievers. And that's why the church has found a lot of problems over the history of the church. If you look at it, that's one of the main things. They lose sight of the cross. And everything else gets in front of it. And then the church isn't the church anymore. It's not acting like Christ anymore. It's not an image-bearing people anymore. There's no more love. There's no more grace. There's no more hope. There's no more truth. There's no more anything that's authentic. There's hypocrisy. You know, I was saying the other day, I forget who I was saying to, it says, well, you know, if we're not coming here because of Jesus, if we're not coming here to worship him and honor him, then we may also just call this a club. A lot of churches out there are clubs. We don't want this to be a club. See, we want a heart-changing faith walk. And sometimes we've got to bump up against the cross or remind us who we are. Because you know what? You know, we got to remove that obstruction. There's only one way. And that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's when we get serious with Him, when we actually sacrifice the time, we start putting things aside and start going, I need to get serious with you in your word. I need to get serious with you in prayer. I need to get serious with you in getting together with others so we can talk about you and support and encourage one another. I need to get in, you know, more just getting involved in other people's lives and just love them and pray for them and encourage them. There's so many, I know, I hear so many people out there, our family, our family members, our friends, our classmates are all lost. They're on the wrong side of the cross. So we got to make sure we got a good, clear line of sight. Okay? That's our part. And that means we need to nurture our walk with Christ. It's got to be the highest priority in our life. If other things come in the way of that, then we need to start thinking, what are we doing? Because what really matters, what's eternal, is things of God. Things that we do to make us feel happy or whatever, or you know, whatever the thing that we're thinking about, it's just temporary. It might help us feel good for a little while, but it's just temporary. And if it matters of eternity, it doesn't. But you know what? I want to remind you of this. All of us who have chosen Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, you're a walking miracle. And don't you ever forget that. Because only a miracle could make that happen. And I know that personally. I know what it took. It was not me that chose that way of Christ. It was some miracle that happened. I can't explain it too well. Maybe one day I can try to explain a little bit. But it was by grace, that unchanging grace that they were singing about. That's what we got, you know, that's what turned me around. God's favor, undeserved favor to me. Walking miracles. Don't you ever listen to the lies of the enemy or anybody else who are heckling you or trying to take you down or trying to test you or trying to shout out other people or other things. No. You know what? That solid rock that you stand on. You're a walking miracle, and there's a reason why you're a walking miracle, and that's because of God. And He has something for us, because there's all these other people, you know, they don't know Him. They chose the wrong side, or they just don't understand, and they're just walking the other way from the cross. Well, so let's do the Philip. It's not the tap dance. You don't remember what Philip did, right? One of Jesus' disciples? Well, there's a guy named Nathanael, a good friend of his. And he comes up to Nathanael and says, "Hey, we found the Messiah." He's going, "Really? What?" He says, "Yeah, Jesus of Nazareth." "Oh, Nazareth? Nothing can good come from Nazareth." Heckle, heckle, heckle. And all Philip did was say, "Hey, just come and see. Just come and see." See, that's our part. See, we're walking miracles. We got the power and authority to pray and to be a witness for Christ. Well, you don't have to be somebody, you know, pounding on them and, you know, finding all the answers in the Bible. All you have to do is just say, "Come and see Jesus." See, a lot of us get afraid. You know, people are testing us or heckling us or whatever, you know. We kind of shut down. We don't know how to respond, or we don't want to get angry or in a fight with them or something like that. But you know what? The best way is just say, "Hey, just come and see. Let's open up the Word of God together. Let's pray together." Because let's move us. Let us not be the obstruction for them. Move aside and allow them to see the cross, that good, clear line of sight of the cross of Christ. I tell you, you'll see their lives change. So don't get in a debate with them. If it goes debate side, just shut it down. You're not. You don't have to. Because no words that we speak are going to change anything that they think. No. It's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. So our thing is lead them. Point them to Christ. Be a Philip. Don't stand in the way of what God is doing. Don't take that stance, because it's a difficult one. I know many, many, many people do that. God is God, not us. He's got the power, not us. So remember this, though. I want you to take this and remember this, okay? Because, you know, you might think your son or daughter or friend or husband or wife or parent or whatever, you know, it's just beyond it. They're the most disgusting people. There's no way they can ever find Christ. Or they're so far off, there's just no way. My friend, oh, no way. But you know what? There is no one whom Jesus cannot help. This guy is blind. He's mute. Jesus, get out of here, demon. Raises Lazarus from the dead. Easy. Easy peasy. There's nothing that he cannot do and help. So don't ever give up on people. Pray. Witness, be a witness. Just share what you have been through. Don't debate. And then say, come see Jesus. He's right here in this Word. He's right here in the Word. Let's pray together. Because we know God's clear line of sight. It's the greatest scripture ever written. It's clear. you know where you stand. You know, for God so loved the world, he wants all to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. That's the line of sight that we look for. Let's pray. Father, again, we praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you that, Lord, that amazing grace that we sang about earlier. It is so true for each one of us who believe. How amazing it is that we even are one of your own. And we just thank you for that. We praise you for that. And Lord, help us to walk in authority and power in the name of Jesus Christ. And not get in the way of the cross, not be an obstruction to others, but to lead them, to connect them to you. Because you got the power to change their lives, to help them, just like you did this mute man. Father, guide us, help us, teach us. Help us to persevere and not give up, because we know in whom we trust and what rock we stand on, and that nothing is impossible for you. We praise you and thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen.